Hello and welcome to Sound Body, a weekly program of information on health topics and ideas that can help you live life to its fullest. I'm Louise Craig. The magazine Arthritis Today has been in publication for 30 years, since 1987. It is telling that this is not a quarterly publication. It has a wide enough readership of people interested in arthritis that it is published 12 times a year. Today we're going to read as many articles as we can from the April 2017 issue, from new therapies to dietary ideas and ways to live well with arthritis. Even if you yourself are lucky enough not to have arthritis, many of the ideas extend well to coping with other chronic ailments. So I hope you will find something of interest today. And we will start with Spondyloarthritis Explained. Until recently, spondyloarthritis didn't receive much attention. It's now generating more interest, in part because it's diagnosed more often, and there are better ways to treat it, says rheumatologist Philip Meese, MD, a professor at the University of Washington Medical Center in Seattle. Spondyloarthritis, also known as spondyloarthropathy, is a family of inflammatory rheumatic diseases that includes ankylosing spondylitis, psoriatic arthritis, reactive arthritis, enteropathic arthritis, associated with inflammatory bowel disease or IBD, as well as indeterminate arthritis, symptoms that don't fit in other categories. These conditions have some key features in common. For example, they often attack the spine, axial spondyloarthritis, and can cause inflammation in joints in the arms and legs, peripheral spondyloarthritis, as well as in the eyes, intestines, and skin. They're also much more likely to occur in people who carry a gene called HLA-B27. Dr. Meese says the introduction of anti-tumor necrosis factor, anti-TNF drugs, a type of biologic, and their success in treating severe spondyloarthritis have spurred new research into the mechanisms of and treatments for the diseases. Here's a brief look at the types of spondyloarthritis. Ankylosing spondylitis, AS, mainly affects the spine, especially the sacroiliac joints in the pelvis, and is a frequent cause of low back pain and stiffness. Symptoms, which may be mild or severe, usually start before age 30, but changes to sacroiliac joints may not show up on x-rays for a decade or more. This has led to some controversy about how and when AS should be diagnosed. Psoriatic arthritis, PSA, can strike joints in the spine, fingers, and toes. Even the tendons and ligaments at the ends of bones, entheses, making it especially challenging to treat. Up to 30% of people with the skin disorder psoriasis develop PSA. Reactive arthritis, which can cause inflammation in the joints, eyes, and urinary tract, is usually triggered by an intestinal or genital tract infection. The infection may be treated with an antibiotic, and the arthritis symptoms often go away on their own, though they may recur in some people. In the early stages, it can be treated with non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, NSAIDs. Other medications may be needed if it becomes chronic. Enteropathic arthritis develops in 10 to 20% of people who have IBD, Crohn's disease, or ulcerative colitis. Like AS, it often affects the spine, but unlike AS, it rarely causes joint destruction or disability. Treatment of spondyloarthritis depends on the type and how active it is. Although anti-TNFs and newer biologics are considered breakthroughs for these conditions, aggressive treatment sometimes isn't needed. John Flynn, MD, a professor and medical director of the spondyloarthritis program at Johns Hopkins School of Medicine in Baltimore, says many patients do well with NSAIDs and exercise. I prescribe physical therapy for everyone, he says, noting that exercise may even slow disease progression. And that was written up by Linda Rath. We next go to foot pain. With 28 bones, 33 joints, and the stress of supporting the body, it's not surprising that a lot can go wrong with your feet. Foot pain can result from many causes, including several forms of arthritis, says Carol Frey, MD, an orthopedic surgeon in Manhattan Beach, California. Here are some possible causes and what to do if you experience them. Heel and ankle. Achilles tendonitis. Pain, stiffness, and swelling in the Achilles tendon, which runs from the calf to the heel bone, often results from repetitive stress from exercise, but may be a symptom of psoriatic arthritis, PSA. Treatment is shoe inserts, over-the-counter pain relievers, and surgery. Heel spurs, sharp bony protrusions that form when the plantar fascia separates from the heel, causing pain. Treatment is rest, ice, shoe inserts, anti-inflammatory medications, and surgery in some cases. Sole, plantar fasciitis, pain, inflammation, and/or tenderness of the sole of the foot near the heel, caused by tiny tears in the long fibrous ligament along the bottom of the foot. Treatment is stretching exercises, arch support, over-the-counter or prescription, anti-inflammatory medications. Toes. Dactylitis is pain and inflammation in the tendon that runs the length of one or more toes. Swelling makes the toe look sausage-like, a symptom of PSA. See a doctor for treatment options. Morton's neuroma. Burning pain in the ball of the foot caused by thickening of tissue around nerves that lead to the toes. Pain is often accompanied by numbness in toes. Treatment, shoe inserts, and surgery in some cases. Hammer toe, a deformity in the middle joint of a toe that results in it bending downward instead of lying flat. Affected joints are often red and swollen, caused by tight shoes, injury, or imbalance of the toe muscles. Treatment, roomier shoes, shoe inserts, and exercises. Big toe, gout, a type of inflammatory arthritis in which uric acid in the blood is deposited as crystals into joints. Sudden severe pain and swelling in the joint at the base of the big toe is a common first symptom. See a doctor for treatment options. Bunion, a painful bony bump at the side of the base of the big toe, caused by shoe pressure from the big toe drifting toward the second toe, genetics may also play a role. Treatment, roomy shoes, inserts, over-the-counter pain relievers, and surgery in some cases. Now we go to cannabis for arthritis. With medical marijuana now legal in 28 states and the District of Columbia, you might be wondering if it's worth pitting against your chronic pain and inflammation. But before you join the party, you should know that despite some promise, there is currently little evidence that it works for rheumatic conditions, and it may even increase the risk of some arthritis-associated issues. The marijuana plant, cannabis, contains more than 450 different compounds, some of which are called cannabinoids. Researchers are currently focusing on two cannabinoids, tetrahydrocannabinol, which is cannabinol, which is THC, which can reduce pain but is also responsible for the high, and cannabidiol, CBD, which works as an anti-inflammatory for autoimmune diseases like rheumatoid arthritis. Researchers are also studying how cannabinoids may improve depression, anxiety, and quality of sleep, all of which are problems for many people with arthritis. Some rheumatologists also cite the significantly lower risks of addiction or overdose with cannabinoids than other common arthritis pain management drugs, such as opioids. Daniel Clow, MD, professor of rheumatology and anesthesiology at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor, says opioids have a high risk of addiction and a high rate of unintentional overdose. We need to have an open mind about cannabinoids and not conflate recreational use of cannabis with medicinal use, says Dr. Clow. He advocates that patients try it before trying opioids. However, other rheumatologists, such as Marianne Fitzcharles, MD, at McGill University Health Center in Montreal, Canada, remain concerned about issues such as how much THC and CBD a patient gets per dose. We're not talking about patients in palliative care or end-of-life settings. Our patients must be up and about and functional, she says. We need to see individual molecules that we can dose in a pharmaceutical way. At this point, with marijuana dosing, it's a free-for-all. Additionally, cannabis is listed by the U.S. government as a Schedule I controlled substance, the same as heroin. So researchers struggle to gain access to the drug for studies, which means little hard evidence exists to iron out basic science, much less to help guide practice. And doctors haven't had training on medical marijuana, as they have for other drugs. The Federation of State Medical Boards recently adopted a set of prescribing recommendations that emphasizes a good patient-physician relationship with in-person evaluations, a written treatment plan, and discussion of the risks and benefits should exist before a doctor prescribes cannabis. Dr. Fitzcharles is also concerned about how other compounds in cannabis that have not been studied could affect rheumatic diseases. Advocates, patients, growers, and legislators have put this product forward without doing the due diligence, she says. While more research must be done on using medical marijuana for arthritis, one aspect has been proven. Smoking marijuana can further increase the already high risk of lung and cardiovascular problems that accompany inflammatory types of arthritis. So experts say people using medical marijuana for arthritis pain should ingest it orally through foods, oils, or teas rather than smoking it. And that was written by A. Kate McDougall. And we will move to a longer article here titled Treatments Worth Trying. And this is written by Linda Rath. People with arthritis often have pain that is not alleviated by their medications, so they seek out non-drug solutions they can use in addition to their prescription meds to ease their aches. Countless gadgets, creams, capsules, and drinks are sold to cater to this demand, and new, unconventional therapies appear on the scene regularly. Some, such as probiotics, are supported by years of clinical research. Others, like mud packs, are not as rigorously studied, despite having been around for ages. Still others, like cryotherapy, are backed more by buzz than reliable science. But do they work? We talk to scientists, doctors, and therapists who study and use complementary and alternative medicine, CAM, therapies to get the inside scoop. From high-tech to down-home, here's a look at four of them, plus a peek at a fifth that isn't available yet, but may soon be. These CAM treatments are meant to be used along with your doctor-prescribed medication, not to replace them. Especially for inflammatory types of arthritis, such as rheumatoid arthritis, psoriatic arthritis, and ankylosing spondylitis. Before trying any new CAM treatment, discuss it with your doctor. Probiotics. Probiotics, live microorganisms that benefit human health, aren't just for yogurt anymore. They're intensely researched and potentially promising treatments for a variety of diseases, including inflammatory types of arthritis. That's because probiotics have a profound effect on the makeup and function of the gut microbiota. The trillions of bacteria in the intestinal tract that help regulate the immune system and, by extension, inflammation. Jeremy Burton, PhD, Deputy Director of the Canadian Centre for Human Microbiome and Probiotic Research in Ontario, explains that probiotics seem to help control body-wide inflammation by bolstering the gut barrier. A single layer of cells separates the intestinal tract from the rest of the body. Normally, the cells adhere tightly together to form a barrier, but inflammation or imbalances in the gut can cause gaps to form between the cells. This allows bacteria to seep into the bloodstream, potentially leading to inflammation in the joints and elsewhere. Gut permeability was first discovered when people started looking at the use of probiotics for diarrhea, but now many other diseases are associated with a, quote, leaky gut, including diabetes and arthritis, Burton explains. What is not known is whether the few strains of bacteria that are commonly found in over-the-counter probiotic supplements and foods such as yogurt, kefir, and sauerkraut are the best bacteria for treating disease, Burton says. There is much scientific activity on this at present, but we have a lot of work to do, he says. Most researchers are looking at conventional probiotic genera such as Lactobacillus and Bifidobacterium. But in reality, there are hundreds of bacteria in our intestinal tract, and in the future, we may use something entirely different from these two genera. Still, some strains of bacteria have been shown in well-designed randomized trials to have a positive effect on certain conditions, according to Mary Ellen Sanders, PhD, an independent consultant in probiotic microbiology based in Colorado. In a 2016 study published in International Journal of Rheumatic Diseases, researchers reported that 30 patients with rheumatoid arthritis who received a daily capsule containing three probiotics, Lactobacillus acidophilus, Lactobacillus casei, and Bifidobacterium bifidum, showed significant improvement in joint pain and swelling, as well as reduced levels of the inflammation biomarker C-reactive protein. Other studies have found that RA improved with L. casei alone or with various strains of Bifidobacterium, which are often unusually low in arthritis patients. Sanders cautions, keep in mind that there are likely people who will respond to a given probiotic and those who won't, and be sure to buy probiotics from companies you trust. You want to buy credible products, but there's still no objective way to know if they have what they say they have in them. The independent research company ConsumerLab.com analyzes and reports on the quality and integrity of many supplements, including probiotics. Burton agrees, noting that probiotics go in and out of the body, and current research suggests the host selects the ones that remain. By and large, they're very safe, he says. 2. Cryotherapy. Whole body cryotherapy, a 3-minute immersion in air chilled to negative 200 Fahrenheit or lower, is trending among some athletes and celebrities. They say it aids recovery from injury, relieves pain, and can cure a host of diseases, including arthritis. Cryotherapy is used in Eastern Europe as a medical therapy, and athletes from all over the world undergo treatments at the Olympic Rehabilitation Center in Poland. The little objective evidence supports the use of cryotherapy for athletic recovery. As for helping with arthritis, a 2013 meta-analysis of 6 studies involving more than 200 people with RA found that cryotherapy improved pain and reduced disease activity, but a 2015 study of 44 patients with RA found no difference in pain, disease activity, or function between a group that received cryotherapy compared to a group that received traditional rehabilitation. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration recently weighed in, warning that cryotherapy machines have not been approved as medical devices, and there's no definitive evidence that frigid air cures any of the conditions proponents claim. Mud packs. Mineral-rich mud may have been humanity's first pain reliever, and studies suggest there are valid reasons it's still used today. For example, in a 2005 study in Rheumatology International, researchers investigated the use of warm mud compresses for hand RA. Half the people in the randomized controlled trial were treated with real mud compresses 5 days a week for 3 weeks. The rest were treated with sham mud, from which all minerals had been removed. The treatment group experienced a significant reduction in the number of swollen and painful joints at the end of the trial and up to 3 months after, whereas no improvement in the number of swollen joints was seen in the control group, although they did report decreased pain. Researchers speculate that heat from the compresses may have provided some pain relief in both groups, but heat alone doesn't explain the overall improvement seen in the treatment group. Instead, they say that trace minerals in mud may have an anti-inflammatory effect. A few studies in the 1990s found that mud pack treatments reduced levels of TNF and other inflammatory cytokines. More recently, a meta-analysis published in Rheumatology in 2013 looked at 20 studies analyzing the effectiveness of mud pack therapy on pain, function, and quality of life in people with knee osteoarthritis. Every study found significant improvement in all three areas, and an economic evaluation published in Arthritis Care and Research from 2016 found mud bath therapy is a cost-effective CAM treatment for managing knee OA pain. Two kinds of mud are generally used in studies, mud from the Dead Sea in Israel, long recognized for its therapeutic properties, and medical-grade moor mud from European peat bogs. Both are available online in a powdered form that's then mixed with warm water. Therapeutic ultrasound. Therapeutic ultrasound uses low-frequency sound waves to generate heat in the body's tissues. It's a standard part of many physical therapy programs, but according to Jeremy Allen, MD, a sports medicine specialist at Rush University Medical Center in Chicago, it's not clear how effective ultrasound is at relieving pain or increasing flexibility, the most common reasons for using it. The concept is that the sound waves reverberate in tissues, creating heat and possibly increasing circulation, which may speed healing, but the literature on this is pretty weak, he says. William Oswald, a physical therapist at NYU Langen Center for Musculoskeletal Care in New York City, says ultrasound offers short-term pain relief that allows people with arthritis to become more active and to exercise, which he stresses is more effective for OA pain relief and improved long-term function. Ultrasound can provide temporary relief, similar to a hot pack, and should be used as a bridge to a more active exercise program, he says. Ultrasound treatments are brief, about 5 to 10 minutes. The frequency will vary depending on the patient and should only be continued if there's improvement, Oswald adds. It's hard to judge their effectiveness because they're almost always used along with other therapies. It's also hard to compare studies because they use different strengths of sound waves for varying amounts of time. A Cochrane review published in 2010 looked at several studies of ultrasound for OA and found modest improvements in pain and function, although the quality of evidence was poor. Dr. Allen says ultrasound may help muscle spasms related to biomechanical imbalances caused by arthritis or pain in the soft tissue around joints. Everything we do in medicine has a risk-benefit ratio, Dr. Allen says. With ultrasound, the risk is low, and the benefit may also be fairly low, but if it makes a patient feel better, then it is probably worth trying. And lastly, we come to vagus nerve stimulation. Using a surgically implanted electronic device to treat RA isn't science fiction. It may be right around the corner. In the July 2016 issue of Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, an international research team reported results of a small study showing that a device that stimulates the vagus nerve significantly improved symptoms and inflammation markers in 17 people with RA. Some of them hadn't responded to conventional RA drugs, including methotrexate and biologics, but all got better with the device, and about one-third achieved remission. So, how does it work? The vagus nerve, there are actually two, one on each side of the body, runs from the brainstem through the neck to the abdomen. Among other things, the nerve reduces the production of pro-inflammatory cytokines, such as tumor necrosis factor, TNF, the target of many arthritis drugs. So researchers reasoned that using a device to stimulate the nerve might suppress runaway inflammation in diseases such as RA. Manipulating the vagus nerve with electrical impulses from a pacemaker-like device isn't new. It's an approved treatment for epilepsy and depression. The idea of treating inflammatory diseases with its device is new, however, and even the researchers were surprised at its success, according to rheumatologist Cynthia Aronow, MD, a researcher at the Feinstein Institute for Medical Research in Manhasset, New York, who was on the international research team. Some patients had fairly dramatic improvements in joint pain and swelling, and there were significant reductions in inflammatory cytokines, which breaks the cycle of inflammation. So there is the expectation that this technique will prevent disease progression, she says. That is still unknown, though. The trial lasted just 84 days. Also unknown is whether people will stop responding to the device over time. Dr. Aronow says that's less likely than with arthritis drugs because vagus nerve stimulation uses the body's natural pathways. The downsides? Although the implantation procedure is relatively minor, surgery carries some risks, and patients must swipe a magnet across their throat 4 times a day. The magnet activates a small pulse generator implanted in the chest that's connected to the vagus nerve in the throat. It's not for everyone, Dr. Arrow now admits. Some people will prefer a pill or monthly injection. But it provides another option for people who want to avoid drugs that suppress the immune system, and for those who don't respond to or tolerate such medications. Meanwhile, researchers continue to test the device in RA patients. They're also trying to find non-invasive ways to stimulate the vagus nerve. An external handheld device that works in a similar way is available in Europe, but not in the United States. Dr. Aronow is also investigating the use of a small clip in the ear. And we have some handy home repair hacks. Use these clever tips for common home fixes. And small household repairs can be an ordeal if you have painful hands and a shortage of tools. So here are some ideas, simple shortcuts. The job, sharpening scissors. Stack and fold several sheets of aluminum foil together, then make several cuts with the scissors and they'll be sharp again. Fix a sticky wooden drawer. Remove the drawer and rub a bar of soap along the drawer's guides. It will go back in easily and glide smoothly. Repair a torn window screen. To stop window screen tears from getting larger, brush clear nail polish on the tear, let it dry, and then add another coat. Fill nail holes. Place a dab of white toothpaste over a small hole and rub gently with a damp cloth to smooth. Let dry overnight and paint. Unstick a door lock. Stick the point of an ordinary No. 2 pencil in the keyhole and turn the pencil several times to coat with graphite, the pencil's lead. Keys will be easy to insert and the lock will turn smoothly. And those are ideas from Arthritis Today, the April 2017 issue. Thank you for tuning in to Sound Body today. Stay well and come back next week for more healthy living ideas. This has been Sound Body, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. I'm Louise Craig, and I hope you'll join me again next week for more health updates and information for healthy living. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.